Hey gang, we all know Spotify has become the ultimate app destination for music lovers. I have an account and I love it. I find new music by following Tastemaker playlists, and I make my own playlist that I share featuring music from guests that have been on the show. But did you know that aside from millions of songs, Spotify now has all of your favorite podcasts, including How Did I Get Here? Yes, all of your podcasts are available on Spotify. Just go to Spotify.com or download the app from your app store, and don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here? That's Spotify. Millions of songs, thousands of podcasts. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great Memorial Day weekend, whatever it is you did for Memorial Day weekend. If you went out to the lake, if you went out to the pool, if you had some barbecues, if you had people over, if you went to the sea, the ocean, the swimming, the beach house, God bless you. I hope it was great. I have been in Houston. I've been in Houston most of the last month, coming home only to play some gigs and to do rehearsing and otherwise. I've been in Houston for about 11 or 12 days. I came home on Sunday and did some Austin Music Foundation work. Everything at, like, I'm there hanging out with my grandmother. If you've been listening to the show, she's not been doing well. She's 99. She's kind of on her way out. It seemed very dire a few weeks ago, but now it's just kind of like leveled off and her health is better, but her mind is still kind of going, and it's just sad, you know, and it's tough. And even though I can do a lot of my work remotely and everything, I feel like all of my jobs that I do were suffering. The podcast, the Austin Music Foundation stuff, my own music scene thing, and of course Skyrocket. So it's been good to come home and be able to focus and stuff. Skyrocket's rehearsing tomorrow. I'm excited about that. I'm going back to Houston, and we're actually playing there this Friday, June 3rd at Last Concert Cafe. Get your tickets now. Go to skyrockettheband.com. Click on the link there and it'll take you to the ticket thing. Get your tickets. It's always a great time there in Houston. And Last Concert Cafe is a great venue, legendary venue. I think it's been there since like this, at least the 70s, if not the 60s, outside, big space. So it's not so feeling so contaminated. Do you still get scared about the thing, about the COVID? You still scared to get the COVID? Because I really forgot about it for the last few weeks. I'm not going to lie. I've totally forgotten about COVID and getting COVID and all that stuff. Whew. Well, anyway, I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. I came home. I've been working and focusing, and it's been great. Rosie, back in January, Rosie was really displaying a lot of anger towards wheeled vehicles, like my like a golf cart or a scooter or a bicycle. She would violently go after them. And it's been a real drag, and I've been trying all these different ways. I've searched all these ways online. I've talked to people, and it's been a real difficult task. But there is a product called Pet Corrector out there, and this isn't an ad. I'm telling you my life story. And it's like a compressed air can, and it's called Pet Corrector. You can get it at PetSmart, Petco, wherever it is you get the things. And it's a pretty loud, like, spray thing. And I have an aunt that has MS, and since I've been at my grandma's, my aunt comes over all the time, and she's in like a little scooter thing, and Rosie would go nuts on that fucking scooter, bite the tires, try and bite my aunt's feet. It was really insane. We'd have to put her outside when my aunt would come over. And so the other day, one of my aunts was like, hey, why don't you try that Pet Corrector thing? And I was like, okay, dude, two sprays, and she was totally cool with it. Then we came home, and bicycles went by. We went for a walk. Sprayed the thing a couple times, totally cool. Scooter, same thing. Then the golf cart here at my apartment, which is always going the whole time the apartment is, like, the business hours from like 8:30 until 5, that thing is driving around. So every time we go out to the bathroom, there's a total meltdown. Today, they were out driving around. I sprayed the Pet Corrector. Rosie totally stopped. She went up, licked the guy's hand. It was amazing. I mean, this is an amazing product. So this morning, we went for a walk on the trail for the first time since January. And it was great. It was liberating. And I'm giving her treats. And we just, like, I cannot tell you what a relief that has been. I miss walking on the trail. I miss walking around the lake. I always wanted us to have that together, to be able to go on these long walks, go to we've just been walking around neighborhoods and stuff. And there's still scooters and bicycles, but much less, and much that you don't have to be close to them. So anyway, Rosie's been fixed by this pet corrector thing. I highly recommend it if your dog has some behavioral issue and you want to get rid of it. What else is going on? Skyrocket's playing Friday at Last Concert Cafe in Houston. Told you about that. Oh, on June 15th, Wednesday, June 15th, I will be a part of my dear old friend, Zach Loy, who plays guitar with the band Live and is a producer, and he's been on the show a few times. I've known him since he was a teenager. He was in a band called Dames Violet with his brother, Bo, some years ago. He was a teenager, and he was sent to me to write songs, and we ended up becoming great friends. And he was a huge fan of my band, Gowdy, and he has a 40th birthday coming up on June 15th at Antone's here in Austin. And he was in Alpha Rev. He was a huge fan of Endosheen. If you don't know these bands, you can look them up. They're great bands. I was in the band Endosheen. I was anyway, we ended up hanging out a lot through the early 2000s and really becoming buddies. And he's since gotten married and moved off to New Orleans, and he plays with the band Live, but it's his 40th birthday. He's having a huge blowout at Antone's. His old band Dames Violet is playing. Lang Freeman from Sounds Under Radio, Casey McPherson, and Nathan Harlan from Endosheen are going to reunite for the first time more than 15 years. And anyway, so many bands playing there. So many bands. Dames Violet, I told you. Oh, and I'm playing. Yeah, with my old friend A&R. We're going to do some Gowdy songs and get up there. We're going to play with Zach. He's going to play guitar. He's got a great drummer coming in. I forgot the guy's name. But anyway, if you're a fan of Zach Loy, if you remember all those bands that I mentioned, Dames Violet, Endosheen, Sounds Under Radio, Gowdy, all these bands, they're all going to be playing at Antone's. It's going to be a great night celebrating the beautiful, beautiful Zach Loy. He's such a wonderful, wonderful human being that everybody lined up and jumped in to do it. And also, all proceeds go to benefit to Cure a Rose, which is my friend Casey McPherson from Alpha Rev and Endosheen. His daughter has a rare disease. Her name is Rose. And all the benefits go to help her and advance and get some research done on this rare disease. Anyway, that's what I've got to say. That's what's going on. June 15th, Antone's, Zach Loy's 40th birthday. All right, gang, I have a great show for you guys today. This was actually done in person over a month ago before I started going to Houston all the time. My friend John Scott, musician, originally from Berkeley, California. Then he moved to New Orleans. Then he moved to Austin during the lockdown COVID times. And I actually met him last year. He worked at a tequila bar that I cannot remember the name of for some reason. Maybe I blocked it out. But I used to go there all the time with my last girlfriend that I dated all of last year. And we got to know the people that worked there, and John seemed to really have a great taste in music. So we ended up talking one night, becoming friends, exchanging phone numbers, getting together. I would hear his music all the time. And he's been releasing some singles, fantastic singles. And he's been doing these solo shows for like the last, I don't know, for like the last 6-8 months, year or something like that, on Mondays. And I don't think he's doing that anymore, but you can find him at johnscottmusic.com. He's putting together a band. But anyway, he would play these shows where he would like improvise music for like 2 to 3 hours and really challenge himself. And the guy's a great songwriter. He comes from the world of like both like power pop music and like The Replacements, where things are out of control and you don't really know what's going to happen. Great singer, great songwriter. He's got a bunch of songs out there. You're going to hear a song called I Don't Care. He's got a great video for the song called Not The One. As I said, find him at John Scott Music. This is me and him talking in person here in the apartment. My friend, John Scott. Dig it. Let's get down.
Well, some people say it's lazy, sitting around and wasting my time writing songs about the world that I want. I just want them to waste some time with me. It can make it kind of crazy trying to pick a side to stay on, always trying to walk the line. But the line is a beer, so I don't care how much money.
I'm just gonna sit here and stare at you.
Yeah, that's good.
You vape away.
It's really intense.
Vape away, John. So I was going through a lot of your stuff today. Cool. And there's that live album.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the in spite of all the flaws.
Well, there's like a Replacements vibe. Like, it wasn't until I was reading the thing and then I saw like, oh yeah, there is like an out of control.
Yeah, I love that. That's like one of my favorite aspects in like an artist. Like I look like Johnny Thunders, like all those performances, like, you know, early punk guys, just like where it's like it's good. You can tell it's good, but they're just doing it as they. It's very raw. I love that.
Right,
like my favorite thing.
But it's interesting because you also write like these real hooks, like ain't nothing wrong, like that.
Yeah, I love hooks. That's another huge thing.
Yeah.
Well, because that's, I don't know. I've also been, you know, we both love pop rock.
Yeah.
So that whole thing. I mean, The Replacements is pop rock. It's just not as like,
right.
cleaned up. You
it's
know?
Just crazy.
So I mean, even those guys, as raw as they are, they have pretty damn good hooks. So, and also I have to remember the hook myself. So that's a huge part of writing it. Like if I can remember it, then someone else will remember it. That's my thoughts in writing hooks. So I really go for like an anthemic thing every time. Like I think like what would it sound like if a room of people was like yelling this? Could anyone pick up on this and just yell it?
Right.
Yeah. So that's my thoughts about writing hooks.
So do you go into it like that, or is that what do the hooks come to you and then you write from that, or
yeah.
do you start writing and then seek the hook?
So I guess it could, you know, as a songwriter you get inspiration from all over the place, but I have found that a lot of my songs are based off of like a cool hook idea. Like I'll have like, it's weird because I'll hear a song or a vibe and I'll be like, I can recreate something like that, or I'll find something catchy and I'll try to figure out what they're doing musically and do my own version of it. And it always comes out as my own thing.
Sure.
So I'm never worried about like ripping anyone off, you know, but I will just kind of listen to vibes and then try to recreate the vibe of a song. And I'll try to figure out what they're doing musically and recreate how I would do that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got songs coming out every month?
Yeah, I'm working on it right now. We have the one I'm working on right now is more like keyboard production based. I was really inspired off like Kanye West's like last couple albums. I just think his kind of use of like soul and like electronics is really interesting. So I have some sort of version of what Kanye would do, but it's a me thing. So yeah, I'm working on just kind of, you were talking about how varied my catalog is earlier.
Yeah.
And then that's why I'm taking inspiration from wherever I can find it, you know. So yeah, it's a weird.
Is that what guides you? Like what are you trying to do? Like, cause like if you had a manager, they'd be like, hey, John, what's going on here, man?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, right now I know it's like, exactly. So it's hard. Like I really just have a really intense passion to like, if I hear a vibe in music, I want to be able to express that. I want to be able to like,
right.
And I don't care about like what is a John Scott sound or what right. is a John, which yeah, exactly. It's really hard to market that, but I'm still.
But I'm not saying you have to.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to get right. at what are you trying to do?
Totally. I guess it's just like an unashamed like obsession with like every genre. Like I like because I so many artists have a sound, and I was like, well, what if there was an artist out there who just like did everything?
Right. They're guys like yeah. Neil Young that
yeah.
you know run a pretty big gamut.
Yeah, I was listening
stuff.
To that album where it's all like drum machines.
Trans?
Like the, yeah, like
his album?
Where he's got the, yeah, it's yeah, the vocoder.
Yeah.
The Mr. Soul thing where he's dun, 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 dun. I love that version, like almost more than I like the original song. Like,
but,
like,
I mean, there was intention though behind that. You know what it was, right?
It was meant to represent his son, right?
Right, to be able to communicate with his son.
Exactly. And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I love that album. And it's funny because I play it for my friends and they're like, it sounds like shit. I'm like, yeah, but check this. Like, but what he's doing is cool.
Isn't that the record that he got sued because he didn't sound like Neil Young?
I think, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. No one likes that album. And I'm like, it's cool though, you know.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I remember when it came out, there was a video for it on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just real weird. Like, he had one of those Britney Spears mics.
Yeah,
like a boy band mic.
Yeah, it's a great
and he was just
look.
Going, yeah, yeah. Like looking at the audience all weird.
It's funny too because like he'll still do the live like thing with the Britney Spears mic. Yeah, it's a great look. Yeah. But even like you know like people were like when Queen started using like synths, they're like, oh, it sounds terrible. But I think that album Hot Space is like one of their coolest albums.
What's on Hot Space?
It's got like Cool Cat, Staying Power, Body Language. It's also got It's
like
the
mid-80s kind of?
Yeah, it's the one where they're all in like different colored squares.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really badass.
It's not
album.
I Want to Break Free, it's the one after it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the one after Another One Bites the Dust, I think.
Oh, well,
cause,
okay.
Because what's that one? It's like the, I don't know. I can't remember their whole discography.
The Game is the,
I think
Another
it's
One
that,
Bites the Dust.
Yeah. I think it's the, that's the, it was the album after that. But I love when people, like, just going to, you know, because it's cool to, like, have big electric guitars, but sometimes you just want to sit there and, like, write a really good poppy
sure.
song.
Yeah.
You know? And I've just never been ashamed to be like, oh, well, I could do that too.
Right.
Or at least
I mean,
try
Bowie
it.
Did that too, you know, whatever was, what struck his fancy is what he did.
Yeah, and his whole thing, he dropped a bunch of music before he ever, because it's funny, if you listen to early Bowie music, it's kind of, like, weird and, like,
right.
60s and kind of folky poppy and... And it wasn't until he like started to get really
a man who sold the world, and all of a sudden he kind of found his voice.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite quotes too. Like, you know, when your feet aren't touching the bottom, that's when you're doing some exciting. But he said that, I think. I try to keep that in my songwriting mentality. I'm always like, well, I don't really know what I'm doing this to. I'm not really a soul guy, but what if I did a soul?
No, you know what? It's interesting because you do have a real sort of like what's his name, like a Van Morrison or Joe Cocker, like some of those newer tunes are in that vein of like
little yelly kind of the
not yelly but like you're out there, you're doing it.
Well, you know? Also
the white blue-eyed soul, you know what I mean,
and that's another thing is like, you know, I'm only like I still have like limitations as like not the best musician in the world or anything. So my voice was, my music develops with how good I am, you know, just as a musician and a vocalist too. So my voice has gotten a lot better, I think, in the last couple of years, which has allowed me, I think, to kind of, you know, do more of that shit, like be more inspired by Joe Cocker, you know.
You were doing those really long gigs where you were kind of like making up music for like 3 hours or something.
Yeah, it's $7,000.
That'll kind of get you.
Yeah,
I mean those long gigs. You know, they always talk about the Beatles and their Hamburg, and that's how they were ready to go when it was time. Bobby. You know.
Yeah, and those were great because that's something I love doing just as a musician. Anyways, like sitting there. Are you drinking water? I was just drinking my cup of water. I'll put that down. My bad. You know, it's like one of my favorite things to do is like sit there with a guitar and just start bullshitting away and coming up with. That's how you write most songs.
So were you recording those shows, and were you coming up with stuff that you were ending up keying? Because you were making up music. Were you making up 3 hours worth of music every week?
No.
That's hard.
Well, because there were like chord progressions I could rely on and certain things I knew.
Right,
like,
right.
So I do have like songs like that came out of certain parts that I liked. A lot of it was just I would go on two chords and get a vibe going.
Right.
And I have a couple of them recorded, but I probably got maybe like, it's funny, I probably got like 3-4 really solid ideas that I like took off with, you know, out of the thing. But, you know, I again, like I love just sitting there singing along, playing guitar, and to be able to do that in front of people was not that big of a deal for me. I was like, I can make this sound good. Like, they're not, you know, it's like, they're not gonna know the difference.
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 24.
So you're 24 and you, like, know the difference between Queen records. You got David Bowie quotes. You're wearing a Randy Rhoads shirt.
Yeah.
You like The Replacements.
Yeah.
Let's figure this thing out. Like, how did that, because most guys 24 don't have that. Have that rooted in, like, hey, I'm a Big Star fan. There's, I mean, you know, who knows? Yeah. Maybe they know the song from the 70s show, but not really the band or something, right?
Yeah.
So you were born in Oakland?
Yeah, I was. Berkeley, California.
Berkeley, sorry.
No, close enough, dude. Yeah. I guess I'll let you slide on that
one. Yeah, let me slide on that one.
No, that's all right. But, no, but yeah, I was, hey, girly. Hold on, get off me, baby. But I was lucky enough to... Like, my mom always loved music, and so she introduced me to a lot. Like, my first favorite band were, like, Santana, Pink Floyd, AC/DC.
Uh-huh.
And I listened to that in the car all the time. And then I also had cousins that were, like, super into more, like, modern indie stuff and 80s, 90s stuff. So I picked up on that, and I always thought it was cool to, like older music that no one else knew. And I just related to it more. I just, like, on guitar, like, when I looked at the guys who were playing guitar in the 70s or the 60s or anything, it felt more like what I was doing than what I was seeing on, like, the guys playing on YouTube or something like that.
Right.
And I have a huge appreciation for modern music and stuff, and modern production. But, yeah, I don't know. I my mom has always told me, too, like, it's just, I mean, like, one of those old soul guys, so I'm like the old man in the young man's body, and that's fine. I've kind of taken on that role, and I accept it, and I like being an old guy in a young guy's body. It's fine.
So what did your mom do?
Actually, she works for a video game company. She works for Ubisoft.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, because she's up there.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. Yeah, she, like, it's funny, like, one of my first concert experiences, like, I think Hannah Montana and the Jonas Brothers, just because my mom had was doing some video game, and I got to meet all of them and shit like that, and it was cool, because, like, I even liked that shit as a kid too. Like, as much as I loved AC/DC, I was also like, I dig, like, some of this early pop, because I was still a fucking kid, you know. But so my mom was really a part of the entertainment industry, and I was always attracted to that, and the music thing. I also watched the AC/DC live recordings. My mom gave me some of those. And when I saw Angus Young able to, like, moon an audience, dance around.
Yeah.
I thought the SG was the coolest guitar ever.
Yeah.
So to see that, I was like, oh, like, he can do that. But they love him. Like, look, he's got his balls out. Like, people love that. Like, that's funny as hell. Like, And he wasn't a good looking guy. And he's not, like, the best guitarist in the world. But I think, like, just no one plays, like, hard rock guitar like that guy, you know, and dance around with that energy. And I was like, I can do that.
Yeah.
So it was things like that, you know. I was just, like, easy, capable. Like, I was like, oh, I can't sit there and be in an office for 8 hours and make $1 million and be this financial genius. Right. I don't want to do that. But, like, I can be on stage and be some sort of medium for music. You know?
Yeah.
It's fun to see audiences connecting, like, hundreds of thousands of people connecting.
Yeah,
you want to be a part of that. Like, when you see that as a kid,
it's funny because it seems to me that people your age, and I'm like 30 years older than you.
Yeah,
like, when I was a kid, like, you didn't like my kids that liked AC/DC couldn't like Hall & Oates.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, there were divisions, and people represented who they were by sort of the names on their jackets or on their fucking thing. And it was a real thing. And I noticed that, like, music is just music. Like, at some point generationally, there stopped being those lines.
Yeah.
And it was like, you can like Kanye West and AC/DC and, you know.
Yeah, I think you ask most people my age.
The Replacements,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think you ask most people my age, they would 100% agree. I think they would all find it to be, most people my age would be like, oh, you only listen to one genre?
Seems like that would be,
People would be weirded at. And I always found it, personally, to be more, like, cool to have a varied taste in music.
Right.
I and there was a, you know, when I was growing up, it was, like, a lot of, like, only hard rock you know, and it took and it took like maturity to be like, well, I also love, you know, Prince, and I love Madonna, and I love God, they're also amazing. Yeah, so it, you know, I think it takes maturity to like, you know, really appreciate the grand scheme of things. But you know, the internet allows anyone to pick up any music from any time period.
Right.
And it's amazing. It's amazing. Right.
And those, the thing is the music doesn't come with those rules.
Right. It's just there. You know,
we put those rules on that music, but that music just is like there.
Right.
Like, exactly. It's like, hey, I'm not telling you what I am. Just dig it. Yeah.
That's what I love about music. That's what I love about making music. I'm never thinking like, oh, well, it would be weird if you did that musically in your song. I'm always like, no, it doesn't matter anymore.
So you have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister.
Older?
She's my younger sister. She goes to Chico State. She's in school. And
what's she trying to do with her life?
That's a good question. I don't know. But one thing I will say about my sister is she's a badass classical pianist. It's funny because I was always able to like jam and express myself.
That's the opposite
myself.
Of jamming. Yeah. Those guys can't do anything without.
And I'm like, hey, play these two chords in rhythm. Like, she can't do it. But she'll sit there all day, play these incredible classical piano pieces. Yeah. So it is funny because like, and we're both like sort of musicals because my dad played saxophone, and again, my mom always pushed.
Were they
me
together or were they?
My parents?
Yeah.
They're together.
They're still together?
Yep.
What was his saxophone? Did he have a band? Did he play at places? Was he like?
So he was like high school jazz marching band saxophone guy. And he always loved, he played like alto, tenor. I don't know if he ever like took it to like aficionado great level, but I know he loved it. And we still have the saxophones around. I played saxophone for a little bit, but you know, I wanted to play guitar.
Let me ask you this, because I'm trying to, like in a murder movie where they're trying to put the pieces together and have the pictures and the little strings going over. Okay, that's what I'm doing right
perfect,
now.
Perfect.
Your freedom, like those shows at $7,000. Did jazz influence that? Like, we can come up with like the improvisational nature.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Also, even more than the improvisational nature is just the being in a whiskey bar like that. It's a cool thing to just go from, you know, maybe do a psychedelic thing or kind of a bluesy thing and then just switch into cool jazz thing. You know, so I was definitely thinking like just the vibes of a single jazz guitarist. That you'd be up there on the stage, no one's really paying attention to you. You're like, all right, let's just get a little crazy with it. I definitely had those moments.
Yeah.
And jazz is, because I went to school in New Orleans too, so jazz is a big thing too in the last like maybe like 4 or 5 years of my life that I really started leaning into more, you know. But I definitely would say jazz.
So it was Angus that made you want to play music?
Yeah, at least guitar.
Yeah, guitar.
Yeah, at least rock and roll guitar or want to be on a stage and playing guitar, you know. That was definitely the guy.
So, you were like 13 when I started this podcast. Isn't that weird?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I started in 2011.
That is weird. I was living in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, yeah?
About to move back to California for high school.
What happened for work with your parents? They moved to Dallas?
Yeah, so my dad's a pilot for Delta.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, the bases switched around, so we moved back to Texas.
Did you like Dallas?
I don't know many people who do.
I've got groovy friends there though.
I don't
have to go there and be like Greg Abbott or anything.
Being a kid growing up in Dallas, it's kind of boring. You're like there's nothing going on. It's Dallas, but you know, in hindsight, I see it's probably a great place to raise a family. And, like, I do know some cool people there. Yeah. And every time I go back there, I like hanging with those people.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not a very visually stunning place. The architecture is nice, but to me, it's like, that's all right. But I appreciate it more, like, the older I get.
Yeah. You know. You ever played there? Do you go out of town and play?
So, yeah, I've only played one gig in Dallas, and it was at the Gas Monkey Bar and Grill.
Where's that? That sounds terrible, though.
No, it's actually so. There's this TV show, The Gas Monkey Garage.
Okay.
And it's a pretty famous TV show, and they opened, like, it's a pretty nice venue bar. I don't know exactly where it is. I can't remember.
Is it like a local TV show?
No, no. It's a pretty well-known TV show.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I think they filmed it locally, but it was a pretty well-known TV show. And I knew the guy, Dan Flaherty, who helped fund that TV show and open that place, I think.
Okay.
I think, I don't know if they're
still. You played there.
Yeah, and he basically let me play there.
Okay, so.
But it was cool because that was actually one of the coolest events I ever got to play, because I had people that were currently in my band, people I knew from high school, people I know from childhood, people I knew, you know, everyone there. And I got to play for him in Dallas. It was maybe like, you know, like 60, 70 people, like, who just seen me grow up, and I got to play for them in Dallas.
That's cool.
So that was a great experience. Yeah. But that's the only time I think I've ever played in Dallas.
All right, let's go back to, so did you ever have bands in high school or anything?
I had one band in high school, these two guys in the jazz band. One of them was like a metal bassist, like genius prodigy, and one of them was just like a cool dude who could keep a nice backbeat on the drums, you know? And we did like the talent show at the school, and then we used to just jam all the time. And
what were you called?
We didn't really have a name or anything like that. I've never been able to settle on a band name. I just kind of go with my own name. It's just like John.
I love high school band names, though. Yeah, like junior high band names.
Yeah, we never settled, but we had like a couple of recordings here and there and stuff. But it was never like anything like super. When I was in high school, I did a lot of like solo open mic stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so what made you go to school? What school did you go to? Would you go to Tulane or something?
Loyola. Right across the street. Yeah, they had the music business program,
and that's what you went to school for.
Yeah. It was weird. Yeah, it was a weird program.
Did you graduate?
Yeah.
So what's the curriculum? What do you like? Music law, music business, publicity,
all that stuff. Yeah,
yelling at people.
It was all that stuff. It was like
lying to people.
Yeah, the criminal activity of the music business. Yeah. Well, it's funny because you'd have some teachers who would like try to make it really academic. Then you'd have the teachers who were like, "No, this is a crime organization. This is how you get through." You know, it's funny because you realize it's like it's impossible to teach the music industry with how constantly it's changing with social media and so it's like, it's in hindsight it's kind of a joke, I think, to like have a whole major for, and yeah, I think it's important to learn like royalties and music, like some aspect of music law and stuff like that, but I mean like
that shit even changes.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. It was an interesting program.
I had some songs like 10 years ago or something on a television show on CBS, and it took me forever to get paid, like a fucking year.
Yeah,
because they still hadn't worked out the laws of licensing when someone goes to CBS.com and watches the fucking thing there.
That's crazy.
There was part of me that was just like, well, just take it out of the thing, just give me this stuff for when it's on TV, like, whatever, dude. But it's weird because it's always ever changing. Yeah. And it was my lawyer that was like, no, we're actually kind of like trying to figure out how you get paid per view on a streaming.
That's super. And a lot of people are like, I'm even thinking about like TikTok right now, like people who like those, you hear like clips of songs that get played billions of times.
Right.
It's like there's no way that whoever made that song is getting paid for every time. That song, like, I don't know the laws on like TikTok, and so I don't even know what I don't know if there are.
Laws on TikTok, man.
I'm sure they're coming.
I'm sure they're there.
Yeah, they're coming. They're there.
All right. So you go to Loyola. Did you play there?
Yeah, I was in like 7 or 8 bands like through the entirety of
college.
Well, yeah, college. And it wasn't until like the last like two years that I had my own project. It was just the John Scott thing again.
Right, right.
Like, I think the whole thing about band names is it's like you're never gonna find the best band name. It's just about finding the one that sucks the least.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and I was like, you know what, if I just go John Scott, I can just blame my parents for coming up with
it
and not me. So that's what I've gone for all my projects. But I mean, I was in like reggae bands, country bands, punk bands. I jammed with some metal guys. Like I did some guys for rapper stuff. You know,
what does Randy Rhoads mean to you? You're wearing the shirt that John's wearing right now. For those of you listening, is the photo where Ozzy's lifting up Randy, and Randy's playing his signature polka dot flying V.
So I've always loved Black Sabbath, and so you know, I've always loved Ozzy and stuff like
me
that.
Me too.
And when I was a kid, I was, you know, when you first get into the guitar, you're into those like who's the best, and like when you're first learning, you're like, who's the legend? So when I was like much younger, and didn't think about being a songwriter, you know, I loved the crazy metal guitars. I thought Randy Rhoads freaking insane, you know.
Great songwriter.
Yeah.
Like those tunes that they wrote on those first two records are basically the tunes to me that define Ozzy's whole career. Yeah. Like no one's really talking about No More Tears.
Right, right. And I love duos like that. Like Bowie has the same thing going on, you know,
with Mick Ronson.
Yeah, Mick Ronson wrote all
of and Reeves Gabrels too.
It's like the
later on.
Like I love the guitarist in that position. And I've always thought Randy Rhoads is just so melodic.
Yeah.
So just technically talented. And you know, it's just like I just always thought he was a legend, man.
Yeah,
and I also like, you know, just aesthetics. Like I thought his guitars look so cute.
Yeah,
he kind of like the Buddy Guy thing with the dots and stuff like that. I thought it was so cool. So,
see, most 24-year-old guys can't connect the dots between the same guitar that Buddy Guy and, you know what I mean? Like that's a pretty fucking, I think that's how we hit it. Like you and I met just so people know.
Yeah, talking about big
you were
star.
Working at a bar. Yeah, and we just ended up hanging out there.
Yeah,
and hanging out there, and then we just started talking about music and. It was one of those things where, like, you're like, oh, man, you like the same music as me. But then you're like, how old is that dude, man?
Yeah.
How the fuck does he know all that stuff? How does he have time to figure all that stuff out?
It's funny because, like, I tell, like, I don't know. I've been playing guitar for probably, like, a little over 10 years at this point. But, I mean, I've been obsessed with music for, I've known... my biggest blessing in life is that I've known that I want to do something. Like, my life has to include music since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Since I literally saw Angus Young. So I've been blessed to...
And cursed. That it feel like a curse sometimes. Because you're like... Some people are like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And you're like, God, that would be so awesome.
100%.
Someday...
100%.
To not have that burden of, like, I have to do this thing.
Right. No, it's 100%. Yeah. It's a double-edged sword it's great to know, but you're like, damn, it's got to be.
Same thing,
done.
You see that photo, that's 14-year-old me with that Stratocaster-looking guitar at my first gig.
Stratocaster-looking guitar?
Well, it's a Fender Bullet, Squire Bullet.
It looks like a Strat, but it's
not as good.
Yeah, man. I tell people, like, I'm not good at music. I just, like, I just spent... the most time doing it, and now I'm not really good at a whole lot of other things than creating music and loving it, you know?
Right.
They're not that I'm not good at it, but it's like the things I want to spend time with are just creating music. I've always known, so.
Yeah. So when you spent 4 years there in New Orleans living there, was the drinking age already 21 when you moved there?
Yeah.
Oh, it sucks. He's been 18 for a long time.
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, it's fine. You know, you get around those things. And that's the thing about living in New Orleans. It was a blast, but I never lived there again. That was too much. It was too fun. To be able to go to a bar, like, or get off your job and go to a bar, like, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And be there till like, 5, 6, and then walk home with a beer.
Yeah.
And, like, be able to do it, like, a couple hours late. It's too tempting, you know?
I had a gig there, like, 20 years ago, I had a gig that started at, like, I think we went on at 3.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, I've done a lot of those shows where, like, you're not going on till like, super late. And, it's just, like, it's just so...
It's a bunch of drunk dudes that just took Adderall, went on stage, and...
it's a fucking blast. It's a hell of a time. Yeah.
Well, it's not like you're playing to, like, a sober audience at 3 in the morning in New Orleans.
Exactly.
They're a little lenient.
But, I would have loved to... It would have been great to maybe stay there for a little bit longer, but I graduated in the middle of like COVID. Like, well, I didn't even get a graduation or anything like that.
Right.
So when that all kicked off, there was nothing going on in New Orleans. I asked my band, I was like, I want to go to Austin. Like, is anyone interested? Like, they're still doing some form of shows out there. There's like, we can go kind of build stuff up while the pandemic's going and build up a thing.
Get ready and pop out.
And they didn't want to do it because they knew everyone still in New Orleans. And I get that. They had other kind of things going on and they had a scene. And I totally understood that. But I just couldn't. I didn't see anything going on. The Loyola scene is a thing over there. Like all the music, like all those kids, like they that's huge. Those kids are dispersed throughout the city, and like again, you have. I wouldn't say there's a genre scene. Again, like I don't know if genre scenes exist anymore, but there's a group of people who play like all over the place. At least that I was in from Loyola, and. And like a lot of them they're all like brilliant and they're all great, but I wanted to keep on because there's no music business infrastructure in New Orleans. No one goes there to invest money in New Orleans. It's because everyone thinks it's going to be underwater in the next 50 years. Yeah. So I was looking for a place that with like
probably because it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I was looking for something with a little bit more like action, money, and business going on, and a little bit more kind of like motivation and drive, just rather than just hanging out, getting a drink, playing whatever the fuck, you know.
Right, right.
So, and I always it gets stagnant for me to remain in one place too long, anyways.
Sure.
So I mean, I've been here for the last 2 years, and I didn't really get a band together till a couple months ago. Like I think last time I saw you. And then, like, a couple of weeks after that, my friend offered me a gig, and I was like, okay, I got to get a band together. And so
I saw the gig that you played with a bunch of different people somewhere.
Yeah, Native Hostel. Yeah, that was a blast. It was awesome to play that. So we're trying, I don't know, we're trying to, like, get it together so we can actually go out and do it. And we're working out the kinks and stuff. But
yeah. I'm convinced I got really sick during South by Southwest at Native Hostel.
Yeah.
It was an Austin Music Foundation event, and I was on a panel. And for the Monday
and
Tuesday...
Were you in that back room with a disco ball?
No, we were in the side room.
Okay.
That with the bar and
That back room is a cool venue to play.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really fun show.
I've only seen music there once. I've seen it in that front room, and I've seen it in that sidebar too. We had music in that sidebar.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've always seen it played in the sidebar. I think they just opened up the back like a couple months ago. So
yeah,
that's great.
So I in those first 2 days, I went to all these parties. Like it was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
and it was like free for all.
Right.
And I thought I had COVID because I got really, really sick.
Oh.
But I got a cold. You know?
Oh, okay.
But well, I hugged about 95 people in those 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, you got it.
Yeah.
There's no chance you're getting out of that alive.
Yeah. Where, so you have a gig coming up, don't you have a gig coming up in June?
So we're thinking about putting together a gig in New Orleans.
Oh.
Yeah, just for the hell of it to go back there. And we're working on it. It's either that or
wait. How many pieces is your band?
It's a trio right now,
power trio.
Yeah, and it's weird because I'm actually really comfortable with trios and stuff like that because a lot of my music does like I like to sit there and throw on as many guitars and things as I can. But I'm also really comfortable with doing trio stuff. I love just getting down to the bare minimum. I can make that work.
I think my dog was trying to get down to the bare minimum with you right there.
Yeah, seriously. Well, it's got a serious nicotine addiction. One of the two, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we're working on maybe putting together a gig in June because Pride Month is in June. In New Orleans, they really put it up
for
Pride Month. So I was thinking that'd be fun. So we're working on that. But that has yet to be 100% confirmed.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I thought I saw something that you were playing in the...
And we were going to play at Cedar Courtyard.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
With Otic Empire.
Yeah, yeah.
But the guys who invited us onto the show had some issue with the venue or the guys who were putting on the thing, so...
Have you been there?
I have not.
It used to be a great venue, man. It used to have this beautiful... Like, it used to be a courtyard, like, in between these two buildings. Thriving.
Yeah.
Thriving business for many years.
Yeah.
Packed all the time. And then with all the condos coming in, all the sound shit started getting to be a thing. And like you know, there was like a okay. whole policing of the sound system and all this shit there. Okay. And so then they put a fucking roof on it.
Okay.
And now yeah. it's like the magic of whatever it was. It's I just was there for Moon Tower. I went and saw some comedy
nice.
Shows there. And it just
didn't... See, it was a weird...
Sorry, no offense against...
No, you're totally shit. Fine. No, I mean,
no, I mean
like,
to them. Sorry to yeah, talk no. shit about your place, but it's not as good as it was.
But no, well, it was weird too, because we got invited on to the gig really quickly. And then, like, right before, something fell through. The whole thing was a little weird. So I don't even... It might have been a blessing to not be on that gig.
Do you know where you want to play with your band? Like, are there places that you go and you're like, oh, shit, I want to play here?
Yeah, you know, I like it's kind of... I really would love to play at this place, Sagebrush.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Because I've just seen some
really... It's a great place.
I've seen some really cool, like, pop rock bands, like, play there.
Oh, yeah?
I can't even remember the name of this one band. Because I asked them and the guy mumbled it so hard. I was like too embarrassed to be like he like didn't want to talk to me, so like trying to wrap his stuff up. I was like, all right, whatever. But no, I've seen some of the coolest things, and I love the dance floor they got.
Yeah,
and I think
that's a place with the two stages inside that
yeah.
face each other.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And yeah. it's got kind of like the dark like sunset-y yeah. vibe.
We were gonna do this show before Omicron with all of our bands in the Artist Development Program in Austin Music Foundation. We were trying to find a place where we could make the show be fast.
Yeah.
You know, having six bands play, still, that's a long night, even yeah. if they're just playing 20-minute sets.
Right.
So I was like, oh, shit, I've been to this place, and that thing is pretty badass.
Yeah, it's
like, you
great.
Could really have, like, six bands a night playing.
Oh, it's awesome. And, yeah. like, yeah, I love the vibe of that place. And you also got the back area, too.
Back area is great.
Yeah, you can yeah. do a whole thing. I think it's really good. They also have a great food truck there, one of the best fried chicken sandwiches. It's called, like, Creole Barton or something.
Totally.
Holy
totally.
Shit, man. That
yes.
place is amazing. So I'm a huge fan of that place. I also love Mozart's Kaffeehaus.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to do one of those just Sunday... gigs there. That's,
yeah.
It always seems like such a vibe. Every time I check someone out, I'm like, oh, that's nice. It seems like such a good vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, so people, if they're into following you and doing it right now,
yeah.
they can just, you're going to be putting out music once a month. Like yeah. you were saying that when we met a long time
yeah.
ago.
Yeah. 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 Just about once. We've gotten, or at least some sort of content, like significant content once a month. Like we did two singles. And then I dropped a music video.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the music video for not yeah. the one music. Yeah. Not the one.
Sorry. Yeah, that one, I recorded that over the pandemic with my dog when I was living with my parents for a couple months. And
that's your dog in the video?
Yeah, yeah. And it was just like killing time. And yeah. I was going to release it like a long time ago. And then I kind of like just got into other things like with moving here and stuff like that. And I never released it. And I was like, oh, it's a perfect time. So yeah, we're doing that. And we're working on the next single for this month. It's going to be called Over You, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any bands you go see here?
So, guys. Let's see, bands I see here. Lately, I haven't really been going out to see much live music. I have to be honest.
You're working.
Yeah, I'm working yeah. a lot. And I also, comedy is kind of easier to see sometimes. Like,
where do you go?
So I know a lot of the guys who play or who work at Vulcan. So they do a lot of, like, Tony Hinchcliffe does a lot of his, they do all, like, the Secret Squad.
I got to meet these guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
I lost my guys.
Yeah, so some of the guys.
They split town, like, 6 years ago.
So have you heard of the band Trace a Lime?
No.
They're around here. Okay, so they all work at Vulcan. They play all those, like, secret shows, the Kill Tonys and stuff. They're badass. I love seeing them live, and they do a lot of the comedy stuff. I also have some friends, Sunrise Police,
yeah,
who are also badass that I see live, and they do some of the comedy shows, too. So,
did you ever go to the Velveeta Room?
I have not.
Oh. So I used to go there, and my friend Mario, for years, was like the guy.
Yeah.
And now he's gone.
Huh. So like, that was a comedy thing?
It is. It, okay. Yeah, it's a comedy. It's a nice small room. Nice. It's next to Esther Spalding's.
Okay. The Creek and Cave has got some cool stuff too. It's where Barracuda used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I knew.
Oh, that's gone, Barracuda?
Yeah, yeah. They replaced it with this comedy venue.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I saw like Eddie Pepitone there.
Cool. I love him.
Yeah, I knew some of the guys who helped start it up, start the Creek and Cave here. I don't know what the hell they're doing these days, but.
I saw a show, like, sorry to interrupt you, 10 years ago, and Eddie Pepitone was in the audience, and he was so fucking, he was funnier than the people on stage.
Like, oh my God, he crashed the fuck up. And I got to, like, I got to briefly just be like, you were funny as hell, like, at the end of the shows. Because it's fun. The comedian scene's cool here. The comedy scene's cool because they're almost, like, they're more accessible to the audience than the band.
Right. Band. Oh, totally,
so,
totally.
So it's cool. Like, I've met so many more, like, famous comedians in Austin than I have, like, musicians, you know, because they're all, they're just hanging out. And they're so, it's just so funny to, like, listen to them talk.
And it's easy for a musician to be friends with a comic because for some reason, we want to be each other real bad.
Yeah, and I actually, when I first got here, I did some stand-up comedy.
Did you?
Yeah, I did some open mics and stuff like that.
How did that go?
Pretty good. Like, I think for my short run of stand-up comedy, it was all right. There's a reason that I don't do it anymore.
Yeah,
but I had some fun bits.
Dude, in the 2000s, me and my friends Kyle Allred and Fred Jones had this show. Oddville.
Nice.
And it was a weekly show on Mondays, and it was like a total fucking industry show, and it was badass.
Nice.
And they would bring comics, and it was like alternated music comedy, and I'd do like a short set, and we'd have a different weirdo from around town be the host.
Let's bring that back, man. Let's bring it back. I think now's the perfect time. The comedy scene is, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love to set that up or something like that. That'd be so fun. I know plenty of comedians.
You could do it.
I could take over.
You could even call it Oddville. I'd be happy to call it Welcome to Oddville.
That'd be super fun. Let's talk about getting that going, man.
Yeah.
Because that's a cool idea.
Yeah. It was a fun show. And then I did it for like 2 or 3 months. And then I was like, I can't, you know, I was getting fucking just plowed every Monday night. Yeah. And those guys were fucking crazy. And they were all cokeheads.
Yeah.
And then I stepped off the thing and they kept it going.
Yeah.
I remember going one night and it was just like two guys on stage screaming at each other.
Really?
Like incoherently. And the owner of the place was like, yeah, you got to get these fucking guys out of here, man.
They're killing on stage right now, though.
No, he's just like, now it's just coke dealers and cokeheads. Like, it's no longer like an industry thing. It's
just
like
a coke party, man.
Yeah, it's like a weird party. Yeah.
Yeah, it probably would devolve into that again.
Yeah. Well, Fred ended up going off and being a great chef.
There we go.
And Kyle's still just a weirdo.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's funny. No, but it is fun, because like, and there's a difference between comedy and music, because you know when you're on, you know, you're on stage musically, no one's gonna tell you really sucked. Like, you know, everyone's gonna kind of come up to you and be like, that was
you're right.
great. You know,
they're right.
gonna clap after every song.
Yeah.
With comedy though, you're on stage, you know you suck in the moment, and you're gonna get off stage, and someone's gonna come up to you and be like, hey, you sucked.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what I kind of like about comedy, though. It's like it's a meritocracy to the T. You know, it's like you're either funny or you're not funny.
Yeah, yeah.
With music, you can just be like really hot on stage and suck, and people are going to be like, that was great.
Yeah,
or you can put out a great show.
Nobody likes a really good looking comedian.
Exactly.
Like, nobody does.
Exactly. It's 100% if you are funny or not.
Yeah.
And I love that about comedy.
Yeah.
So I think that's a cool, like, realism, like, it's the only meritocracy, I think, left in entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
there you go. John Scott said it here first.
Yeah, exactly. Quote me on that.
I tried to go to your website, and it was weird. Is it up? Is it going?
It should be.
Okay.
It should be, okay. Yeah.
JohnScottMusic.com.
Yeah. It used to be John S. Scott Music, but I finally got the domain John Scott Music. Because my middle name
is... It's a thrilling thing when you get it.
Yeah, my middle name is Stanley, so John Stanley Scott. And I was like, I need to get this middle S out of here.
Yeah.
Because when you tell people John S. Scott Music, like, they never understand it.
Yeah.
So I finally got the domain name, John Scott Music.
Did you go see Mike Campbell this weekend? No.
I didn't.
He was in town for like 2 nights with his new band. And Stan Lynch, the original Heartbreakers drummer, is playing drums.
Where did they play?
They played at Antone's.
Nice.
Yeah.
Does it sound good?
Sure it did. I wasn't there.
No, there.
I didn't know they were playing Sunday, and I was out of town
like
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Damn, that would have been cool.
Would've been great.
Mike Campbell's a G.
He's amazing.
Yeah. He's one of the most unsung guitar heroes.
Yep,
I think. And I mean, the guy's just, his lines.
He's the guy. Yeah.
They were like hooks on top of hooks in Tom Petty songs.
Yeah.
Like, they were just as catchy as the hooks.
Elegance, too.
Yeah.
Like an elegance to his playing. A maturity, even when he was young, he was very tasteful.
Yeah.
More tasteful than you are at when you're young.
Yeah,
you know,
100%.
Yeah,
that's another thing. A lot of young musicians love. I love simplicity. like in music. I love keeping it like, yeah. Again, like I'm not there to make music for myself, really. I like making music that's like
bringing, people are gonna like.
Exactly.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's important. So yeah. It's like, so I love simple, and that's why I love Angus Young. It's like, it's just simple, straightforward, like pentatonic blues. I love simple guitar. So like George Harrison's another one of my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, really melodic guitarist.
Totally.
Yeah. So, and even like as a metal guy, I think Randy Rhoads did a beautiful job of like, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know, like being pretty simple and straightforward to the point.
He's badass, man. No. You know, it's funny. There was somebody that was saying like, yeah, man, I don't know where he got all those big guitars. And I was like, he didn't have big guitars. He was like 5 feet tall. Exactly. Yeah, he was a tiny little dude.
Yeah, that's so funny. When he got all those big guitars, that's the funniest shit I've ever heard. So I need to give me some big guitars.
Well, dude, it's been great talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
People get out there and check it out. This the tunes are fucking great. You're a great songwriter, man.
I really appreciate that, yeah. Johnny. Thank you, buddy.
Are you gonna record with the band? Is that in the future?
Yeah.
Is that what do you?
Yeah, we have some songs that we're writing. Me and the drummer who should be up singing with me. We do songwriting together. So we're gonna work on hopefully getting in the studio pretty soon.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, exactly. Hopefully some video content for y'all. That stuff, and we're gonna keep playing live around and stuff like that. So
does it bother you? Like to me, when someone calls this podcast content. It doesn't offend me in any way, but when someone calls my fucking music content, I want to fight them.
Yeah, well, because it's...
Because I'm like, dude, that takes work, man. It's not content.
Because when I think of content, I think of content is like the marketing stuff for the music.
Right.
So, you know, yeah. So like the music isn't the... Like, yeah, I hear content almost, it's got a shitty connotation to it.
It doesn't sound like it enough.
I used to have a professor who said he hated when people said, I'm going to drop a track. You're gonna drop your song?
Yeah.
You're going to release your song. It's funny.
I like that.
Exactly. You're going to drop a song. You're going to release the song.
You know? I like drop because it sounds like hip hop.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm dropping my single on Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. But I think he makes a good point, though. He's like, no, we're releasing our song.
Yeah.
So you make a good point about the connotation of certain words.
Do you still, like, is there anything that you apply from what you learned at Loyola?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, like, I think the biggest thing, like, seriously, it's kind of goofy. It's not even, like, a academic thing, but it's values alignment. Like, I had a professor who stated, like, keep reiterating to me, it's like, if you're in a band and there's a person who's not on the, or you're in a team or a group and there's a person who's not on the same page, like, cut them off. Like, in a non-personal way, don't be a dick about it, but it's like, if you're in a group and you can tell that there's, like, someone not on the same, reaching for the same goal.
Don't lower yourself to their level.
Yeah, it's like,
go find someone that's on
you. Make sure you're, you know, it doesn't matter how good they're, like, you can have the best guitarist in the world or whatever, but if they want to do something else, like, make sure you, you know, have your thing going, you know? So I think values alignment is a huge thing, and it just in life in general. I had a professor, Billy O'Connell, told me that.
Nice name.
Yeah. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
But I think that was the most important thing. And there's some other royalties things that are probably important. But sync licensing shit is I probably use. Distribution. The boring shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing is just like how to look professional online, I guess, sort of. Not that I'm even that good at that, but just having the concept of trying to be as many places online as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, you learn more just from being doing it than in school, and that's just for anything, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, except, like, medicine and stuff.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't leave.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I know some pretty ridiculous medical students, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, it's been great talking to you,
absolutely,
man. People get out there and check out these tunes. I Don't Care, Ain't Nothing Wrong, Not the One, all kinds of previous releases, In Spite of All the Flaws, Live, which, by the way, I really liked. And go to johnscottmusic.com for all of your John Scott needs.
Thank you, brother.
See you, bro.
Much appreciated. And I don't care how much money I make. I don't care how much time it takes.
That's John Scott. You can find him at johnscottmusic.com. That's his song, I Don't Care. Get out there and check it out. His video, Not the One, go to johnscottmusic.com. Always great hanging out with John. I really like that dude, man. He's funny. He's fun to talk to. Great, great singer, great musician, great guitar player. Get out there and check him out, johnscottmusic.com. All right? And don't forget, when you're out there checking out johnscottmusic.com, you can subscribe to this podcast. Leave a comment, leave a rating, follow us, share episodes. If you're a fan of John Scott and you're just coming to the show, welcome. There's over 1,100 episodes of the show out. So you can go to the Podbean app and go through and listen to all of them, all right? Subscribe, like, follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy, and you can follow How Did I Get Here on Facebook, all right? Let's hear the rest of this song, I Don't Care, by the great John Scott. Have a great week. Let's get down. Some time believing all the things.